Today's daf is Erichin Dav Vav. We are holding on the very top of Dav Vav Amir Aleph, and we were discussing the issue of accepting nedavos from Goyim. Can the Beis HaMikdash accept a nedava from a Goy? So the Gemara had quoted the pasuk of Lo Lechem Velanu, that when it comes to Bedek Habayis, there may be an issue, there may be a bigger problem of accepting from a Goy and allowing the money to be used, because they shouldn't participate in building of the Beis HaMikdash. But then the Gemara had said that no, it has nothing to do with that. That's not true. We're allowed to accept from a Goy. Rather, the only concern is if it's mishum rufyon yadayim, if there's reason to believe that the guy is only trying to contribute in order to sabotage the process and delay the general building of the Beis HaMikdash. Then we would be very hesitant and would be aser to accept from a guy. So we are holding a daf vav amir aleph. Tana chada, ovid kocham shes nadib nedav lebedek habayis mekabel nemenu. One Tana taught, we have one brisa that says that if novid kochavim makes nedav for the bedek habayis, we accept the money from him. V'tanya ida. But we have another brisa, Ein Mekabel, and it says you can't accept from him for Bedek Habayis. So it's a stira, so that's a kasha. It says Gemara, I'm Ravila, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, no kasha. Habitchila, habasof. It's not a kasha at all. One is talking about Betchila, the other is talking about Basof. What does that mean, Betchila, Basof? So Rashi himself has two pshatim. Number one, he says, Betchila is Betchila Sabinyan, Ein Mekabel. When we're beginning the construction, we don't accept from him because we're afraid maybe he's trying to sabotage the process. Basof means lechazik is bedek. Once the Beis HaMikdash is already built, and it's just a matter of helping to upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, so that we would accept from him. No reason not to accept that. He's not going to delay the building. It's already built. Lishna achrina, says Rashi, betchila kishalo haisa a masan shalov dekhav malehen. Betchila means before there was any ema, there was any fear of the gayim by the Jewish people, then we would not be makabel of the besof. But once we were afraid of them, and we, who knows what they could do to us, and what kind of anti-Semitism it could spur on, if we don't accept it from them, then we were makabel mishum ema. Then we, out of fear, we were makabel from gayim. Says Rashi, which of these pshatim is more correct? Virish And he says, "V'zein otam da kol yemei bayisheni ha'isa emas ha'ovde kochav malehen." He says it can't be that betchila is a reference to a time when we had ema from the ovde kochavim, because the entire period of bayisheni we had ema from ovde kochavim. Abu betchila so yosher misofo, more at the beginning than we did at the end. So it can't be that betchila means when there was no ema, because adraba, the entire second base of English period there was ema of the Kochavim, especially at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period. And he says, don't tell me B'tchila means the Mikdash Rishon, because then we're going to see later, the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on this about the period of the Mikdash Sheni, which would not be a kasha at all if it were really about the Mikdash Rishon. It tells us also on the top over here, when it asks this stira between the two brises of can we or can we not accept a nedava of the Bedek Habayis from Ovdei Kochavim, Tulsa says, V'lishni HaRabbi Meir HaRabbi Yehuda. Why don't we just say it's the Machlokas Meir Rabbi Yehuda that we just learned yesterday in the Mishnah, where a Meir says that where they had a machlokas, whether a guy can be nerach v'lo marich or marich v'lo nerach, and we said that it was totally on this issue, if a guy can give to Bedek Habayis. So it says, tells the Yishlom and him came, kedusha ve'ena kedusha mibayileh. It should have said whether it's kadosh or not. It should not have said whether we're makabel or not. It should have been about whether it actually becomes kadosh. Okay, anything else to say over here? Yeah, and the Betchila Basof, Rabbeinu Gershom writes that Betchila, different pshat, a third pshat, the Betchila is if the guy comes and says, I intend to be Misnadev, so then we tell him, nah, we don't really take from Goyim, it's okay, don't be Misnadev. Basof means he comes v'nidvaso biyado, and he's already holding on to his nedava, and he's presenting it to us. Then we don't turn him away once he's that far into the process. That seems to be the Shitas HaRambam as well, or similar to that is the Shitas HaRambam, Matnas Aniyim, Perches HaLaches, where the Rambam writes, Akum she'es nadev lebedek habayis, ein mekabel mimenu lechadchila. If he makes a vow, so lechadchila, we try not to be mekabel from him. V'imlachu mimenu ein machzirin la. But if we've already taken it, we don't return it. So that's basof. Basof is b'diavet. If we already took it from him, we're not going to return it. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter now. The Amar Abasi, Amar Biyochlan, B'tchila, Afilu Mayim Melech in Mekabel Mehem. Originally, we wouldn't even be Mekabel Mayim Melech from a guy when they tried to donate that to the Beis HaMikdash. B'sof, but at the end, Dover HaMasuya Mayim Mekabel, Dover Sheinu Masuya Mekabel. Once we lightened the restrictions a little bit, we still weren't Mekabel everything from them. We weren't Mekabel something that was a Dover HaMasuyim, something that was easily and clearly identifiable, and people would always associate with the name of the guy, so that we still tried not to be Mekabel from them. But something that's not Masuyim, something that's not clearly identifiable, we were Mekabel from them. Says Gemara, Hechi Dami Dover Masuyim, what is a Dover Masuyim? Am Rav Yosef Kagon, Am Akilya Orev, like the metal tiles, pointy tiles they had on the top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that birds wouldn't land on the top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now Tosfos points out, in the Mikdash Rishon they didn't have this, because in the Mikdash Rishon there was so much Kedusha that any ofos, any birds that were Poreach Alav, would immediately burn up. So there was no, the Shechina was there. The Shechina was there in full force. But by Mikdash Sheni, they were afraid that maybe because the Kedusha is not as great as the Kedusha of the Mikdash Rishon, and they were afraid that birds would fly on top of the Mikdash, so and leave a Dover Tamei there, so they decided to make a Tzura LaHavriach HaOfos Migaga Heichel. Not just pointy tiles, but it sounds like, the way Tosfos understands it, like a scarecrow, to scare away the birds, and they call that Kilya Orev, as if to say, the thing that's Monea the Orvin, the thing that keeps the ravens away from flying by the roof of the Heichel. So it's talking about clearly a scarecrow. And Tosfos says, but V'yesh Maksha, that the Gemara says in Moed Katan, that Shlomo HaMelech prepared a Kilya Orev, that was considered Tzorach Binyan, that was in the Mikdash Rishon. And we just said by the Mikdash Rishon there was no need for something like that because of the great Kedusha that was there in the Shechina. So it says to us, no, V'yishlomo shayishlomo yari shemelotei alav Kedusha. K'sharo shayi kadosh hisiruhu. Maybe Shlomo Melech put up a scarecrow there because he didn't know that there would be such Kedusha. Once he saw that the Kedusha was there, that the Shechina was there in its fullest force, so then he took down the scarecrow. So it wasn't really necessary once the Beis HaMikdash was up and running in the first Beis HaMikdash. It was only necessary in the second Beis HaMikdash. So that thing, that's a very clear Dover Masuyim that would have the guy's name on it, everyone will know, oh, that's the scarecrow the guy had donated. So that's something that we don't accept from a guy, even Basof. Masiv Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, wait a second, the Pasuk says, V'igeres alosof shomer apardes, sher lemelech. And the Pasuk clearly implies that at the beginning of the Binyan they took from the Bedek Abayis, they took from Koresh for the Bedek Abayis. So it sounds like even Betchila they took something from Goyim. So I'm Le'abaye, no, that's different. Shiny Malchusa Delo Hadrubay. Taking from the Melech is different because the Melech is going to see it through. He's not going to delay the process. If he said he's doing it, he's doing it. Amr Shmuel, Yam Malchusa Karnaturi, Akarturi Velo Hadrubay. If a king says he's going to uproot mountains, then he's going to uproot mountains. He's not going to change his mind. What a king says, a king is going to do. Fine, weiter at the two dots. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ovid Kochavim Shehifrish Truma, Machriz, Makirov Botkinoso, I Bedas Yisrael Hifrisha Tinasin Lekohen. If an Ovid Kochavim doesn't separate Truma, so we check out what he intended. If he was doing it based on the Das of a Yisrael, which Rashi has two pshat on what that means, either he was doing it having in mind that my truma should go to wherever Yisrael's truma goes. He doesn't know that Yisrael's truma goes to a Kohen. So he says, yeah, whatever Yisrael separates truma for, let my truma go to that also. Or a second pshat in Rashi is that he says that a Yisrael told me to be mafrish, so I'm being mafrish based on the suggestion of Yisrael. Then tinas in the Kohen, give it to a Kohen, because that's where it belongs. But vim lav, but if he doesn't say that he's doing it bedas Yisrael, tuna geniza, then it needs to be hidden away, because you're not allowed to get any hana from it, because chayshin and shem b'libel l'shamayim. We're afraid that maybe when he said truma, what he really meant was that he wanted to make it hegdish. So frankly, when may say over kumshes nadiv kura v'shem kasvaleh, both you know. So let's say you know, Kochavim dedicates or donates a beam, and it has a shem Hashem written on it. So we check it out. Im amar b'das Yisrael hifrashtia yagid v'yishtamish b'mosar. If he says that I donated this b'das Yisrael, so then we just trim off the area with the name, and we use the rest of the beam, ve'im lav tu'un geniza. But if he doesn't say that it was Bidas Yisrael, the whole thing needs to be hidden away. Chayshina and Shema b'liba l'shmayim, because we're afraid that what he really was donating it to was for Hegdish. Time with the shame kasva led to buy a geniza. But it sounds like the only reason that it requires geniza is because it has a shame Hashem. Ha'ein shame kasva led lo buy a geniza. But if there's no shame Hashem on it, and Guy designates it for the Beis HaMikdash, that it would not require geniza. So this is the kasha, because we just said that when a guy dedicates something, even without the Shem Hashem, let's say he says he wants to make something truma, that if his intention was to make it kadosh, so we said that the halacha is that it's going to require geniza, and yet over here we're saying that no, only if it has an actual Shem Hashem on it will it require geniza. And this is the Gemara, who had in davagav the ain Shem kasav ala nami by a geniza. Now, this case of the beam, it would require geniza even if the Shem Hashem was not written on it. V'hakam ashmon dafal gav the Shem kasav ala yagav v'yishtamish b'moser the Shem shalo b'mekom alo Kadosh, that even though the whole chiddush is that even though it has a Shem Hashem on it, you're still allowed to cut away the area of the Shem Hashem and use the rest of it, because a Shem Shalo B'Makomo does not have Kedusha. So what does that mean? A Shem Shalo B'Makomo does not have Kedusha? Rashi has two pshatim. Number one, he says, only the spot on the beam that has the actual Shem written on it becomes Kadosh. The rest does not become Kadosh. Lishna Achrina, he says, a Shem Shalo B'Makomo means a Shem Hashem where you would not expect a Shem Hashem to be, where a Shem Hashem does not belong, like on a beam or on kelim, would not be Kadosh. A Shem Hashem only becomes Kadosh when it's written on klaf, when it's written on somewhere that you would expect that's an appropriate place for a Shem Hashem to be written. That if the Shem Hashem is written on the handles of kelim or on the bedposts, so then you could just cut it off and use hide away, you know, put in geniza the part that you cut off with the Shem Hashem, because the entire thing will not become kadosh. Now, a few issues in the poskim over here. The Shilta Giborim in Masechta Shavuos says, like that the lashon of the second lashon of Rashi, that even the shame itself is not going to be kadosh. Meaning that according to the second lashon of Rashi, if you write the Shem Hashem on something that does not belong with the Shem Hashem, like a kli or a beam or something like that, not only is the rest of the kli and the beam not kadosh, the Shem Hashem itself is not kadosh, because it's written in an inappropriate place. The only thing is, you're not allowed to erase it unless it's al yidei grama. But the Mishnah's Chacham says that even according to this Shita in Rashi, the Shem itself is going to be Kadosh. So in the Tshuva space, Yitzchak, he wonders that if you say that a Shem Shablo B'Makomo is not Kadosh at all, that a Shem written on a Kli has no Kedusha at all, so then we're going to have a problem with a Gemara in Masecha Sukkah. Because the Gemara in Masecha Sukkah, on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, tells us that at the time that David HaMelech was digging the Shisin by the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Tahom started, the depth, the water from the Tahom started threatening to flood the whole world, and David HaMelech wasn't sure if he's allowed to write the Shem Hashem on a shard of pottery and to throw it into the Tahom in order to stop the water. So according to that Gemara, it's Pashut. According to what we're saying now, though, it should be Pashut that it's Mutter. If you say that the Shem written Shalo B'Makomo, like on a shard of pottery, has no Kedusha, so what kind of suffix was David HaMelech have? If it has no Kedusha at all, why wouldn't he be allowed to throw it into the Tahom? Elamai, it sounds not like the Shulta Gibor, more like the Mishnah's Chachamim, that the Shem written in the wrong place does in fact have Kedusha. Now it happens to be the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, this same Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak in Archaim Simon Yud, Osei, points out that Be'emes, David didn't really need the whole Kavachomer of Achitofel to be matu the Yisvi. The Kavachomer Achitofel said was that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to erase his name to make Shalom Be'nish Le'ishto, so then for sure you should erase the name to keep the whole world alive. So that he didn't really need that Kavachomer, because the whole Isser is only Midrabanan, it was Ali Dei Grama. So that's one difficulty. Also, if the Shem Shalom B'Makom is not Kadosh, so what does it help to throw it into the Tahom? I mean, if you were to say that it has no Kedusha, so what kind of thing is that? Throw it in the tome. What are you throwing? You're throwing something that has no Kedusha. Why would that help solve the world's problems over here? So that's one major issue. Another major issue, the Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Vav, halacha vav, that a kli that had a shame Hashem written on it, you should cut away that area with the shame and gonzo and put it in geniza. And even if the shame Hashem was engraved in the kli, in a metal kli or in a glass kli, and you were matich the kli, you melted down the kli, you'd get malchus. You can you have to cut away that area and bigones, and bigones that area. So the Pri Chadash says that from the Rambam we can learn that even in a situation where the shame was not niskadesh, you would still get malchus on the mechikas hashem. Because minastam, the shame on a kli is not niskadesh. And nevertheless, the Rambam says that you get malchus if you are mochik that shame hashem. That which you have to write the shame b'kedusha, the fact that we say that a shame that doesn't have kedusha, if it's written on a kli, that has nothing to do with the iser of mechika. That has to do with whether it counts as a real shame Hashem, gabe ksiva sefer Torah, things like that. That's the whole din of writing a shame b'kedusha. Now, goes Maimonios, however, it seems clear that not that way. It says the iser mechika also, you wouldn't get malchus if the shame Hashem was written shalo b'kedusha. And the Machna Ephraim points out, it's muchach in the Rambam that way, because the Rambam writes that an apikores Yisrael, who writes a Sefer Torah, there's the Rambam in Yisrael Torah Peravav Halacha Ches, that if an apikores writes a Sefer Torah, so it has all the Shemos Hashem, you would burn the Sefer Torah together with the Askaros, with the Shemos Hashem, because the guy doesn't believe in Kedushas Hashem, so he clearly didn't write it Lishma, so he viewed it as writing any other word in the Torah. So since the shame was not Niskadesh, that's why you're allowed to burn it. So it sounds from there that it doesn't have Kedusha at all, that you're even allowed to erase such a Shem Hashem that wasn't Niskadesh. So the Machna Ephraim says that the din of a shame that was written by a goy, that it has to be Nignaz, even though he also didn't intend to be Mekadesh, the Shem Hashem, that's because it's enough that at the time that he wrote the shame, he believed in the Kedusha. But an apikores doesn't even have that level. If you write shalobik avanas Hashem, not intending to write the Shem Hashem at all, not intending to write anything of any Kedusha, so then vaday would be mutter lemachko, would be mutter to erase. This is an interesting question when we have shameless nowadays. Is pressing a button on a copy machine considered an intention to give Kedusha to the item that you're producing, to the marmakomos sheet or whatever it is that you may be producing? The Netziv is a fascinating tshuva, where the Netziv believes that without kavana to be mekadesh it, if you only have kavana to use it to very temporarily and then to throw it out, that it doesn't have any kedusha whatsoever, and that you can then throw it out even if it has the actual shem Hashem. Most people are not sumich on that Netziv, but the Netziv writes like that in regards to galleys of svarim, that they would then take the leftover galleys and use them in the bindings of other svarim. So he has such a kula that it's permissible to throw away the extra cuts of the svarim, because they were clearly just printed out for proofreading and then meant to be discarded afterwards. Okay, says the Gemara, weiter now. So if a person says, I'm going to give this money to tzedakah, he's allowed to change the money to use it for something else. So we originally thought that meant, or of Nachman meant when he said this, was that he's only allowed to change it for his own use, but not to go lend it to somebody else. But then Rav Yochanan came along and said, no, even to lend to somebody else, he's allowed to change it. That Rabbi Zira says it's this din that he's allowed to change it is only if he said that this cell is a lie, that it's on him, it's a din of the Gavra. But if he says, I'm giving this coin, then he has to give that coin as is. He cannot use that coin for any other purpose. Maskef la Rava. So Rava says, no, Adarava, if you're going to say a logical distinction between saying a lie and saying zu, I would have said the other way. Ipcha mistavra. Amar zu mishtamish. But if he says this coin, then he's allowed to use it. Ki hechidi l'chayv b'achriyuso, because then he's going to be chayv to replace it. Avla amar a lie, lo. But if he says a lie, then he wouldn't be allowed to use it for anything else. Elo lo shna. So it must be that there is no such distinction, since logically the distinction could have been made the other way. So we must assume that there is no distinction between zu and a lie. Tanya Kavase de Rava, we have a brisa that supports Rava. Neder tzedakah vein hekdish tzedakah. Neder is tzedakah, but hekdish is not tzedakah. So my kamar, what does that mean? Lo neder velo hekdish tzedakah. Neither neder nor hekdish is tzedakah. What does that mean? Elaf hachi kamar. This is what it means. Tzedakah harehi bibalta acher ve'ina kehekdish. Tzedakah is subject to the yisur balta acher. You're not allowed to delay in paying up the money that you owe to tzedakah. But it's not like hekdish in the following way. Hekdish also is balta acher, but ilu hekdish asu l'shtamushe bei, ilu tzedakah shari l'shtamushe bei. Hekdish you're not allowed to use in the interim. Tzedakah you are allowed to use. Amar Rav Kahana and Risa l'shmaita kameder Rav Zvid min Arda. Amar atun hachim asnisula anan hachim asinula. He said, yeah, you learned it that way. The Rav Nachman held that it was mutter to change it, and that's all he said. And then we needed Rabbi Yami to explain that that's bein liatzma bein lacherim, and then Rava to say that it's bein whether he says a lie, bein whether he says harezu. That's the way you had it, but we learned it a little bit differently. That all of it was said by Rav Nachman. All of these details were said by Rav Nachman as follows: that atun hachim asnisula anan hachim asinula. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Aravua, Amar Rav. All Rav Nachman saying the name of Rav Aravua, Amar Rav. Homer Salazul Tzedakah Mutar L'Shnosa Bein Liatzma Bein Liacher Bein Amar Alai Bein Amar Rezu, with all the chilukim, or with none of the chilukim rather, by saying that there's no difference in any of these cases. That was all from the mouth of Rav Nachman. It wasn't only later people discussing within the Shita of Rav Nachman. That was all from Rav Nachman. Now the Rif Maseches Baba Kama writes that if you say Sela Zula Tzedaka and the Sela is in your possession, you must give that to Aniyim. You cannot change your mind. And it doesn't. The din of tzedakah is not like the din of a hedyot of saying, "I want to give this seller to you." Let's say to another person, where just saying it is not a kinyan at all and creates no sense of ischayvus. By tzedakah, you cannot be chozer. And he quotes from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Darshan Zopasuk, Motzis Vasecha Tishmar Vasisa Kasher Nedarta Lashem Elkecha Nedava Asher Dibarta Bepicha. That beficha is zu tzedakah. So we see that by tzedakah, dibur bialma, just beficha, just using your mouth alone, is itself a mechayev. And even though the aniyim are right away, they're zoch in it, they right away have a kinyan in it, but you could still change it as long as it hasn't gotten to the gaba yet. Like it says in our Gemara, that so long as it's not in the gabbai's hands, it can still be changed for a different purposes. But the Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Aleph, Simen, Tav Kuf, Samach, Gimel, writes that we don't say by Hegdish, we don't say by Hegdish Aniyim, by being marked as something for Aniyim, that Amri Rasul Gvah can see Rasul Hedyot, that saying it alone makes a Kinyan. And his Rayas from the Gemara in Baba Kama, and the Tshuvas Ma'arit he writes, and it's Muchach from the Rif, that it's possible to change tzedakah for other things, to give it to other aniyim, that the gabbai could designate it to go to other aniyim instead of the original aniyim that it was intended for. Okay, let's see the Gemara Baiter. So it says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, three lines from the bottom of Daf Vav Amar Aleph, Sela Zula Tzedakah, Ad Shelo Basal Yad Gabbai, Mutar L'Shnosa. If you say, I'm going to give this Sela to Tzedakah before the Gabbai ever gets a hold of it, then you're allowed to change it to use it for something else. Misha Basal Yad Gabbai, Asu L'Shnosa. But once it's already in the hands of the Gabbai, so then you're not allowed to change it to use it for something else. Says Tosfos, that's only talking about a Yachid. But the Bnei Ha'ir can all vote, based on the Gemara Babasra, Tavches, the Bnei Ha'ir can all vote to change it from Tamchli to Kupa or from Kupa to Tamchoi for different types of tzedakah needs. But even that is only to use for a Dvar Mitzvah. But to use for anything other than Dvar Mitzvah would be impermissible, would not be permissible. So, Frak Gemara, Eini Va Rabbi Yana Yosef Upara, Rabbi Yana used to lend money, tzedakah money out to other people, and he would pay it back. He would pay back the money that he borrowed from tzedakah, or he would borrow money maybe even for himself and pay back the tzedakah money. So Shani Rabbi Yana, and it was already in the hands of the gabbai. So it says Gemara, Shani Rabbi Yana, denichlu laniim the kama demashi maasi umaisilu. No, that was better for the aniim. The aniim preferred that because as long as Rabbi Yana was low on funds, he would be able to force people to give tzedakah. So the net total that the aniim would get, excuse me, would actually be more money because Rabbi Yana messed around with the funds. So as long as the aniim are happy about it, that would be okay. Now, Tshuvas Ma'arik has a very interesting raya from here. Tshuvas Ma'arik The Chuvus Ma'arik in Shorish Zayin says that you see from this Gemara that Pidyon Shvuyim doesn't count as tzedakah, that it doesn't have a din of tzedakah when you give money for Pidyon Shvuyim. Why? Because it says Ma'arik as follows: even if it was mutter to be Mishana mitzedakah l'tzedakah, it's asr to be Mishana from tzedakah to Pidyon Shvuyim. Why? Because if you're going to say that it's mutter to be Mishana from tzedakah to Pidyon Shvuyim, how is it mutter for Rabbi Yanai to borrow and to pay back with money of tzedakah? That's it's the Gemara's idea that the Aniyim are happy with it. They're happy that he doesn't have all the funds on hand because he's going to end up collecting more. It will take a little time, but at the end, the net total will be more money. That only makes sense for regular Aniyim. But if someone is held captive, so of course he wants the money to be on hand. He needs to get out as quickly as possible. His life is in danger every moment that he's in captivity. And does he care that the Gabbai Tzedakah will be able to collect more money? It doesn't help him that the Gabbai Tzedakah collects more and more money, because you're not allowed to redeem a captive for more than he's worth anyway. So it must be that Rabbi Yanai's liberties that he took with this money was only permissible because Tzedakah money anyway is not allowed to be used for Pidyon Shvuyim. If it were allowed to be used for Pidyon Shvuyim, says the Ma'arik, then Rabbi Yanai would never be able to take these liberties, because it certainly would not be something that would be approved of by the Aniyim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Savra b'chia, Tan Rabbanan, third line, Yisrael shes nadev minora oner lebeis haknesses, sasul l'shnos of Yisrael, donates a menorah or a ner to the shul, you're not allowed to change it for something else. Savra Rabbi Chiya bar Abba lemeimar, lo shnal l'dvar rishus, lo shnal l'dvar mitzvah. It doesn't matter whether it's you want to change it for dvar rishus or dvar mitzvah, you can't change it. Amli Rabbi Ami, hachli am Rabbi Yochanan, lo shnal dvar rishus, al dvar mitzvah. Mutl shnos, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He thinks for a dvar mitzvah, you can change it for something else. Midam Rabbi Asi am Rabbi Yochanan, v'chav mishus nadi menorah, o ner lebeis haknesat shul, nishtaka shem baleh, osu l'shnos. So wait a second. We have Rabbi Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that a goy that could be that's misnadev menorah or inheritance beis haknesses before the shame bailim is forgotten from it, everyone still remembers that it was the guy who donated it. You're not allowed to change it for something else. But once misha nishtaka shame baleha, once everyone forgets that the guy was the one who donated it, mutar l'shnosa, then you're allowed to change it. Now lemai, what does that mean? Change it for what? For dvar rishus or dvar mitzvah? So you mean ilem l'dvar rishus, if it's to change it for dvar rishus, a Jew also you're not allowed to change for dvar rishus. El dvar mitzvah, so it must be that it's for a dvar mitzvah. And the reason that it's permissible is the time of David Chavim who depay. I'm sorry, the reason that it's aser is that time of David Chavim who depay, because the guy is going to complain. Al Yisrael de lopay shaper dami. But for a Jew, he's not going to complain about it if you change it. He's not going to scream and cause a ruckus. And therefore, you are allowed to change the menorah that was donated by a Jew and use it for some other dvar mitzvah. So this is a raya to the shita of Rabbi Ami b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, that and against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that it doesn't. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba thought it doesn't make a difference between dvar mitzvah and dvar shus. Now this is a raya that it does make a difference, that for dvar mitzvah you are allowed to be mishana when a Jew donates the menorah. Shazrak Tayyah, the name of a certain guy, Indav Shargah the Beit Knesset of Rabbi Yehuda. He donated a candle to the Beit Knesset of Rabbi Yehuda. Shanya Rachva the Ikbid Rava. Rachva changed it to use it for something else, and Rava got upset about it. Ikda Amri, others have a different version of who did what. That Shanya Rava the Ikbid Rachva. That Rava was the one who changed it, and Rachva was the one who got upset about it. Ikda Amri, Shanya Chazani the Pumbedisa the Ikbid Rachva the Ikbid Rava. That the Chazani of Pumbedisa were the ones who changed it for something else, and both Rachva and Rabba got upset. So whoever it was, we need to explain why would someone change it to use it for something else, and we also need to explain why someone got upset at that. So the one who changed it figured it's not so common for the guy, this particular guy, to show up to the town and to start complaining. So since he never comes to town anyway, we don't have anything to worry about him complaining and causing problems. Mandi ikpid, but whoever was makpid about it, savar zimnin de mikrivasi. It may not be so common, but it happens. Sometimes it could happen that he'll show up, and if it could happen that he'll show up, we're then going to be in big trouble, and that's why it's a problem. Now the Mordechai writes in the name of Rabbeinu Meir that this idea of a Yisrael being misnadiv menorah, that you're not allowed to change it for something else, that's only once it's been used. But if it's never been used yet, you're allowed to change it, because we paskin like Rava, who holds hazmana lav milsihi. That's the sheet of Rava and Sanhedrin, daf mem zayin and beis. Designating it for a certain use itself doesn't grant it a full kedusha status. Only when it's already used for that mitzvah that does it have that kedusha status. Now it's true, person who makes the neder cannot be chozer on it even before it's used, because he has to be mekayim his neder. But in terms of the Bnei Ha'ir changing it to use it for something else, that they could do as long as it has not yet been used. The Shach just points out that it's very unusual. Shach in Yarder, Resh Nun Tes, Sif Katan Yud, points out that the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe quote this Mordechai Lalacha, but it's very strange why the other poskim don't make such a chiluk. And from the fact that they don't write this chiluk, they don't write this din, sounds like they don't hold such a chiluk, that they hold, even if it has never been used, that it's Asur L'Shnosa. Very, very difficult. They don't understand why he would say that. Another point over here, Tosos and Maseches B'Basud of Chesam and Aleph points out that even though it's usher to be makabel tzedakah from a guy, and they were only matir to take tzedakah from a guy mishum malchus, over here you don't need shalom malchus to be matir taking tzedakah from a guy. I just gave a shiur recently about this, about the issur of taking tzedakah from a guy. Over here, our gemara doesn't rely on shalom malchus to say that it was mutter, because this is a nedava for ner lebeis hakneses that you're always allowed to take, because anything a guy gives to a shul has a din of a korban, and you're allowed to be makabel korbanos from Goyim. Ish ish, the Rabbos Nachrim, the Gemara Darshins, Mesechas Nazir, the Son of Bezam and Aleph, that you're always allowed to be Makabal a Korban from a guy. So anything the guy gives to a shul is completely permissible. So that's the Ha'ara that Tosos has in Mesechas Baba Basra on Daf Ches. Okay, new Mishnah, here we are on Daf Vavim and Beis, middle of the page, Mishnah, Hagoseis V'yotzi Lehareg, if someone is a Goseis or is being brought out to get killed, lo nidar v'lo narach, cannot be the subject of a neder vow, meaning if you say I'm going to give his value, it doesn't mean anything because he has no value, nor does he have an erech, if you say you're going to give his erech. Rabbi Chanin ben Akavya Omer, ne'erach m'pnei shadam of ketsuvin, that he does have an erech because he has set value. So he does have an erech. Rashi just points out that Rabbi Chanin ben Akavya is only discussing the case of Yotzei Leharek, that such a guy has an erech because at least he could go through Hamad of Arach, but a goseis can't go through Hamad of Arach anyway, he can't stand up. So therefore, Goseis, even Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, would agree, would have no erech. But at least someone who's Yotzei Leharek would have an erech. And then, strangely, the Mishnah quotes what sounds like a third shita, but it doesn't seem to really argue with the first two shitos, that Rabbi Yossi Omer, no der umarech umakdish vim hizik chayiv. That not only, we said that the Goseis Yotzei Leharek, there's machlokas whether he's ne'erech. Rabbi Yossi says, but he can be noder, he can be marich, he can make the vow that's going to be mechayiv money, and he can be makdish. And if he does any damage when he's a goseis yotzei leharig, he's going to be chayiv for that which he does. So it says, Mar Bishlam, a goseis lo midar. I understand why a goseis cannot be the subject of a neder vow, the lav bar damimu, because he has no value, he's a goseis. Velo nerach, I also understand why he can't be nerach, the lav bar hamad of arachu, because he can't go through hamad of arachu, he can't stand up. And that's what you need to do in order to be the subject of erechin. Ella yotzei lehareg, but yotzei lehareg doesn't make as much sense. Bishlam lo nidar, the lav bar damimu. I understand why he can't be nidar, because he doesn't have any actual value. Elo nerach amaylo, but why can't he be nerach? Why can't Yotzei Leharig be nerach? The Tanya says, well, this is why not. Minayin Yotzei Leharig va'omar erchi alai shelo omar klum. How do I know that if a person is being taken out to get killed and he says erchi alai, that it's worthless? Tamalomar kol cherim lo yifte. Yachla filu kodem shenig mardino. I might think this even before his gmardin that he doesn't, he loses his status of having an erech. Tamalomar min ha'adam v'lo kol ha'adam. L'Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya da'amar ne'erach, v'bnei shadam of ktsuvin, ha'i kol chayrim ma'yavadlei. Where is Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, who says that a Yotzei Leharig does have an erech, so because he has dam of ktsuvin, he has a set amount of money that's designated for the erech, so what does he do with the words kol chayrim? We just use the words kol chayrim to teach that a Yotzei Leharig, after the Gemardin, does not have an erech. So what does Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya do with that pasuk. So says the Gemara, Mibayle lechaditanya. The Shizim Vetz says in the obvious addition of Mibayle, that it's clear in the Lashon of the Gemara, if you're familiar with how Gemara works, that it always would say the words Mibayle in this context. Mibayle lechaditanya, he needs that pasuk for the following brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, Omer lefishim, and sinu lemumsim bidei shamayim, shenosim mamim muskap lehem. We do find sometimes that a person's chayav misa bidei shamayim can give money instead, and he'll have a kapara. Pasuk says, "Hashor yisakel v'gamba love you must." So we know that the misa that it talks about is by the bailim is clearly not a misa bidei adam, because the person does not get misa when his shor kills somebody. A person gets misa for when he kills somebody, not when his shor kills somebody. So we see that his paying money is in place of some level of misa bidei shemayim. So again, we find people who are chayv misa bidei shemayim, like when a man's shor kills somebody, that all he's got to do is give money, and that's going to be mischapalem, shenemar im kofar yushas alav. So yachal af bidei adam kein, I might think that if a person's chayv misa bidei adam, he should also be able to give money and get out of it. Tamalomar, kol cherim lo yifdeh. But I would only know from there that that's true of misos chamuros, of the very strict misos, where when you do it bishogeg, there is no kapara. For example, Rashi says, like a megade from a kalil aviv, that if you do bishogeg, there's no korban, there's no golus, there's nothing that's going to help you out, there's no kapara for it. So that's where I would say money doesn't help to achieve your kapara. Because when you do bishogeg, there's no kapara, it's too serious. But misos kalos, the lighter kinds of misos, says Rashi, you know, like if you murder somebody, if you do avodah zarah, lighter kinds of misos. Why are these lighter? Because if you do them bishogeg, you either chayv galos or you have chayv chatos, so there is some sort of kapara. So those kinds of misos, shenit neshigas and the kapara minayin, how do I know that you can't pay your way out or pay your way into having a kapara by those kinds of misos? Tamalomar, kol cherem. That's why the Pasuk says kol cherem. So you see, that's what he does with these words, kol cherem. Okay, we'll stop there. Rav Shem will pick up tomorrow from the two dots.